This podcast of the Em and Harley Show is brought to you by Australia's best mobile network. Get up to speed with their latest offers at your nearest Telstra store or go to telstra.com.au now.
Hey, podcasters, good job on podcasting us. I want to apologise to my husband for the... Harley! What? Someone thought there was gunfire going on.
Someone did. I scared Brady with it.
Oh, this is great radio. It's fantastic. I can't... How do we... What are you, Michael Winslow? What's going on?
That was all with my mouth.
I just went... I'm just about to apologise saying my husband has a giant penis and you just said it's all in my mouth and now I can't think of anything else. So sorry, yesterday's intro to the podcast. Look, it was a little...
It's hilarious.
...full on, and I want to apologise to my husband for saying he has a massive penis because that's something you should really be upset about, dickhead.
Yeah, men hate that.
I hate it when people say I'm too pretty. Oh, God. Enjoy this situation.
My penis is adequate.
Can you stop? You always put your penis down. I just want to say to you,
it's
sure
just
you're
adequate.
Fine.
It's fine. It made two kids.
Yeah, but adequate's not all the right
on its
word.
Own.
Adequate. You don't want to say adequate. You want to say, like, let's think of a better word.
Well, adequate is, do you need anything else? No, it's adequate.
No, but, like, it's there.
It's there.
It functions.
Does it. You know, sometimes
come on,
now,
your
function.
Penis needs some PR. Come on.
He's a little champ.
No little.
He's a little.
He's
rock solid.
He's a grower, not a shower.
He's a magician, not
physician.
He's a magician, not a physician. Doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't.
Podcasters, go to the things. Thank you for podcasting us. Get the Hit app. Get the Hit app. And don't know why they told me to say that. Stop it. We've lost our minds. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Stop it.
It's the radio show that has all the experience and none of the qualifications.
And what people should know is that you were a sex ed teacher.
I was involved in sexual health education.
You're a sex doctor. You are a professional of sex.
I am sex.
You are.
Hosted by two people who bring a special kind of happy to your morning.
It's not often I'm in a good mood. It's like a solar eclipse. Everyone enjoy that. Yeah. Everyone out there is like,
don't
God.
Look into it, you'll burn your eyes.
Yeah, that's like, all the Sarah, our producer, is like, God.
Yeah, everyone's like,
what's going
what's
on?
Happening?
I look people in the eyes, you know.
You're checking their
I said
wheels.
Hello, ask how they were and cared.
And sell their passion for the hits we play like no other radio show.
That gets my juices cooking, that
yeah.
one. Oh, I'm just like, oh, I'm like, I punch the air. Like, I've never looked more mum. I've never been more mum than when I'm marching and punching the air to that
song. Like the BBC kid then.
The one who came in behind her dad.
This is... The Em Rusciano Radio Show. With Harley Green.
Good morning, dickheads.
Hey.
Happy Sneaky Friday. Love Sneaky Friday. It's when it's almost Friday, so much so you've written it off.
Yep.
The day, Thursday's already over in our minds.
That's right. You cheat the weekend now.
Yay! Yeah. It's great.
In fact, stop that car, turn around, go home.
Oh, that would be amazing. If I was in the car driving right now and heard you say that, I would do it.
I got a commanding voice.
You do.
Give us your boss's number, I'll call him up.
Imagine. We could do that. In 1060, would you like Harley to call your boss and get you the day off work? Thank you so much for choosing us to be in your ears on this fine Thursday. We have some great things to talk about, some good things to do. We have a really interesting guy coming in. He's a journalist.
Sounded like Dr. Seuss then.
The places we'll go, the things we'll see. Peter Greist is coming in.
Yes.
And this guy, to me, when he was pitched to us, I'm like, oh, my God, I really want to talk to him. He basically reports from the front lines of war.
Yes.
He takes himself to places because he has this unquenchable desire to report the truth.
Yeah.
Because he worries about the propaganda of the governments that are, you know, involved in the wars.
Yes.
And he's been to some really scary places. He just seems fascinated.
Yes.
Having him
in. He was held captive for quite a long time
as well. In an Egyptian jail.
That's right.
Mm. So we'll be talking to him. We have Alpha Bucks, of course, and no Dolly today.
No, Dolly's sick.
My heart's not in it today.
Yours? What are you talking
about? I mean, Dolly's...
Dolly couldn't make it.
Dolly's so unwell she can't get her voice up high enough to do Dolly.
Yeah, yeah. Dolly's just not here.
Because when she tries...
Yeah.
So Dolly will be back bright and early Monday morning.
She's going to have another day off tomorrow, too.
We're all having a day off tomorrow. Well, you know, we're all still just... in love with Mark Ruffalo and Chris Hemsworth. They've been here. They've done literally every single show
They're still here. They're sitting on top of my computer screen.
You're supposed to give them to Leonard.
Yeah, I realised that when I forgot them. Don't tell Leonard.
I like to bring. Sometimes I bring little gifts for your son, and I don't know if they actually make it to him.
Sometimes they make it into my shed.
Oh, you don't have to accept them. I can give them to other kids.
I have accepted them for Leonard, and he will eventually see them.
Merry Christmas.
Dad got this for you.
Oh, you're a present glory stealer. That's the worst.
Yeah, totally.
That's why whenever I meet Leonard, he's like, who's this?
Who's that?
What the hell? I'm the giver of gifts, mate. I'm Zany Arnie M that likes to give you stuff.
Where you go, buddy?
So obviously they've been here promoting Thor, and some great stories have come out. There's just a couple of lads sitting around,
a couple of blokes
talking over the top of each other in a hectic fashion.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I was sitting there when I interviewed them, and I was just like, it was backwards and forwards. Yeah. The only way to get a word in is to jump on top of them and ride the wave.
Well, they've done a lot of films together now too. They must be quite close.
They have. Well, I mean, Chris has played Thor 5 times.
Yeah, so he's done 2 Avengers, which is twice with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. They've done 3 movies. Yeah. And that's the reason Chris wanted this movie to be so different, because he said, I was so over myself. I was bored with Thor. Yeah. That's why he got a haircut, cut all his hair off. Thor gets a haircut because he becomes a gladiator. Yeah, it's not giving anything away. It's been in all the trailers. Anyway, Mark Ruffalo has revealed that he was driving through the Gold Coast, because that's where they filmed, because Chris wanted it filmed near his house. They literally filmed it 40 minutes from Chris's house. Chris said, the only way I'm doing Thor again is if I can drive there and home.
That's great.
From home at the end of it. So anyway, Mark was driving, and Splendor in the Grass had just finished, and he saw a couple of hitchhikers on the side of the road. This is a very Mark Ruffalo story. I'm getting a sense he's he's up for this kind of stuff. He's also like a real Captain Planet. He's very big on recycling, on water, on using our water. Right. He's got a foundation, environmental foundation. He's very big on that stuff. And he saw them, and he stopped to pick them up. He stopped to pick the hitchhikers up.
Excellent.
Have a listen.
Splendor in the Grass.
Yes.
And then Mark wonderfully picked up a couple of hitchhikers on the way home, stuck on the side of the road.
And the police are fine, by the way.
The police are harassing them, and the only way I could save them.
I'm like, where are you going? They're like, right near here.
It's right around the corner, 10 minutes. It's an hour and 45 minutes past Ballina, which is also an hour from there. It's like 2-3 hours away in the wrong direction from where he's headed.
It took me out. No good deed. No good deed goes unpunished. Man.
So hectic. Even that was just hectic.
Yeah.
He convinced the police that he was their uncle.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's never gone badly, has it? Where a random man has stopped, picked up the youth and said, I'm their uncle.
Except if he's the Hulk and the cops have half a brain and they're like, really?
Yeah.
You're their uncle. The famous actor Mark Ruffalo and these two young kids with, you know, flowers and dreadlocks in their hair and half cut.
Yeah.
You're their uncle. Of course you are.
All right.
But he got in the car and he drove an hour and 45 out of his way to drop him home.
Good on you, Hulk.
Oh, I love Hulk.
France.
Have you heard of it? I've been there.
Have you?
It's
a place.
Wore a stripy top and rode a bike past the Eiffel Tower wearing
excellent.
Gloves.
Excellent.
Baguette in the front of my bike.
Yeah, good on you.
Just had to tick every box of things.
I have a joke with nearly exactly that line in it. I talk about how the French are so willing to be their own cliche that I saw a man with a stripy shirt wearing a beret with a baguette in his basket without any idea how hilarious that
was. Might have been me. Could have been me that you saw. I did that. I just got into my mind I needed to be the French cliche.
Yeah,
but then I didn't realise the French do that.
Well, some of their clichés are really good. Some of their clichés are not so great. So France is considering fines for catcalling. Catcalling, so you know. That's the whistle.
Is that the...
that's the catcall, isn't it?
Hey, baby, you're looking pretty.
Yeah. Anyway, unwanted sexual attention is what you call it. Women across France shared their stories of sexual harassment and abuse over the weekend as a social media hashtag, balance torn pork, which stands for expose your pig. Now, that could go wrong, but I do love it.
Wow.
Balance torn pork. I'm probably saying that wrong. Sorry to the French that are out there.
Expose your pig.
Now, this is, we're going to talk about this later on in the show too, the hashtag Me Too, but this is in conjunction with that as women start to share their stories of sexual harassment on the back of Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And so across France, this is going
on. What's the fine? How do you, can I make, Can I make a citizen's arrest next time I'm in Paris?
Yes.
So when someone whistles
at me. You
can
do that anyway here.
Can I turn around and go, excuse me, that's actually illegal. I'm citizen's arresting you. And do you have to shout citizen's arrest? When, I've always wondered, what is the citizen's arrest protocol?
I have no facts.
Do you have to shout
for that.
Citizen's arrest
but
for it to be legal?
I reckon what you have to
tell me,
immediately deputise somebody near you.
How do I do that? Is that like a sword?
No, that would be knighting them. No, you just go
can
up
I
to them.
Can I knight someone if I have a sword on me?
You can certainly knight them, but that okay. just means you've got a knight now. You need a deputy.
Can knights not make citizens' arrests? Is that out of a knight's jurisdiction?
They don't arrest people. Straight up kill them.
Okay, well, that's also someone good to have in my back pocket.
If you need to straight up kill someone.
Knight someone.
Knight somebody.
So I'm going to deputise someone. Do I need holy water to deputise a person?
No.
Well, how do I do that?
You need holy water to save their soul.
Baptise.
You believe in that.
Okay.
Baptism is more full immersion kind of stuff.
Deputising is just, hey, you're a cop now.
Yep.
Great.
Which okay. means you're the sheriff.
I'll give him one of my brooches. Yeah. Okay, here's my Rizzo yeah. brooch. You're my deputy. I'm the sheriff.
And then as a duo.
Okay, go up to that person catcalling yep. and say, citizen's arrest.
Yeah, and then just karate kick them in the throat.
On the pork. Pork.
Balanced pork, on pork. Well, the proposal. Yes. Proposal's under discussion yes. to fine men for aggressive catcalling or lecherous behaviour
good.
Toward women in public, to extend the statute of limitations in cases of sexual assault involving minors and to create a new age ceiling under which minors cannot legally consent to a sexual relationship.
See,
I think these are good moves, France.
This is great moves. And you know what yes. else? It's causing men, and I've been reading all these ridiculous things of men going, oh, I'm afraid to even be alone in a room with a woman now. I don't know what to do and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm like, no, just be a decent human.
Just behave yourself.
If you're a man out there, and you're not, I heard someone say something amazing. This yeah. I can't remember which comic, I'm going to look it up so I can attribute it to this comic. And he said, to any men wondering what you should and shouldn't say, yeah. and I hate doing this, I'm stealing someone's punchline, I'm so sorry. He said, just imagine what you wouldn't want another man to say to you in jail.
Yes.
yeah. If you're not sure what to, if you should say something to a woman yeah. or not, would you want another yeah. man in jail saying that to you?
Yeah.
I thought, you know, that's a really good way of putting it. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be around women. Just be a good human.
I don't understand I don't understand where the boundaries are thing with a lot of men coming up with. Understand them. It's very simple. If you know your friends well, if you know your family well, those people around you well, you should know where their boundary are. 100%. How far can you push them in the personal level? If you don't know them well, probably just don't talk to them. Leave them alone.
Yeah, that's good.
You lecherous jerks.
Just don't be gross.
Yeah.
Just be good people.
Yeah, and you know, it's got to the situation where we've been saying this as a society, continually saying yeah. this, stop it. And now societies like France are saying, well, now we're going to charge
yeah.
you money.
Because
you're not listening.
And you know
yeah,
what?
And good.
Women aren't walking around hoping you'll compliment them out loud in a creepy way. I don't leave the house, geez, I hope someone yells out at me. That is not what we want.
Yes.
And most women, I think I can speak on behalf of, don't want you yelling stuff out at us yeah. in the street. Please don't do that.
It's pretty simple.
Unless you're yelling out, I'll take. You look very young.
You personally will take that.
Me personally?
Yep.
Look very young.
Yep. That's one for Emiliano.
Look like you are a kind person.
In general, can
you're
I
say. You're very smart.
If you're driving in a motor vehicle.
You're very smart. I'll take that.
Don't yell at people.
No.
It doesn't matter for what reason.
Sorry.
It's scary and alarming.
In summary, don't be a dickhead.
Yeah.
That end. Well. I got some, you know, I just love hearing about love.
Yes.
You know
yes.
I do?
So do I.
I love love.
Love.
And one of my favourite couples, and I don't know if we've discussed, I don't know if you know they're together. You know that Jon Snow and
yes.
Ygritte the Wildling are engaged in
I
real
actually
life.
Did know that Good. And don't watch the show.
Wow.
Well.
But I did know that.
Yeah. So obviously we'll need the music. Oh.
I'm just showing myself out.
It just gets me going, this music. It's this and House of Cards are the only intros I don't skip.
Yes.
You know, when you're watching
House
and
of
you go,
intros is a good one.
That music. Yeah. If I'm running a TV show,
yeah.
I'm going to think of the name and then I'm going to go, what's the music?
In fact, I only watch the intro now.
Oh, it went stupid.
It's got shit.
It got so stupid. This last one, they just took the piss, they jumped the shark and then they ate it. It was so dumb. The shark got pregnant.
Yeah, and then started dating Rachel again.
Pretty much. So Kit Harington, of course, he plays Jon Snow on Game of Thrones. Well, when they got engaged, Ygritte's real name is Leslie, not as interesting, they announced it through an old school ad in the paper.
Oh,
they took out an ad And
oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. They didn't do Facebook or Instagram or a picture of the ring. She said yes, none of that.
Yeah.
They just announced it in an ad in the paper, which I love. But the story goes on to say that they were invited to a bad taste party.
Yes.
And Kit and Leslie went into a costume shop. And when he went in there, the lady looked at him and said, "You kind of look like the guy off Game of Thrones." Yeah. "I have a Game of Thrones costume." And
you
she bought
wear that.
Out Jon Snow's outfit. And then Leslie leaned across into his ear and said, "I don't love you if you don't wear this costume." So then Jon Snow tried on the Jon Snow outfit and went to the bad taste party dressed.
So good.
As Jon Snow.
Which is great, but also I imagine it's just a slightly crapper version of what he wears
in like
his job.
You know what it is? It's always sexy. There's always a sexy version, so it's sexy Snow. So like,
sexy schoolgirl Jon Snow.
Just a hint of stomach showing. Like his armor is actually a crop top.
Yeah.
A crop armor.
His hair is in pigtails. Yeah,
just covers his pecs. Just got some like a feather boa across both of his little sandals.
It's not a dress up party unless that exists.
And there's the ass is cut out of the back of his armor.
Oh, well,
you know, assless.
This escalated. It's real fancy.
No. Assless armor.
Yeah, you know, assless armor. Oh, sure.
It's not protecting you from any sharp coming at your bum.
It's not Tuesday unless you've got arseless armour on.
Sometimes I want to be pierced from behind. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
This one is going to evoke passion and memories.
Yes.
Okay, it's a goodie, and it came to us from a listener. Ben, can you please go and you sent me the email.
Oh, yes, I did.
Today, the best caller, we have two tickets to go and see the Foo Fighters in concert. The Fooies. I'm going to that. You're
huge.
Going.
Huge.
You're going, aren't you?
No, I'm not going.
Do you want to go?
Wasn't it on? No, it's on at the same time I'm in New Zealand.
No.
I do want to go, but I'm in New Zealand.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You're a big deal. Foo Fighters Concrete and Gold World Tour, Saturday 27th of January. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Australia Day weekend. I'm so going.
Oh, yeah.
Really. I love the Fooies because my husband loves the Fooies.
Yeah.
So that's happening. 13:10:60 today. What's a superior smell wafting from the kitchen?
Ooh. Sent in by Miriam.
Thank you, Miriam. First of all, great name, Miriam.
Miriam.
You know, just think about when you get home from school maybe or you're from your work and your other half's cooked or your dad or your mum's cooked.
Yeah.
And you walk in and just smelling, knowing that there is food on the way, that you're not going to be hungry, first of all, is amazing.
Yeah.
But just that, oh, dad's making. Now, for me, it was always the smell of spaghetti sauce cooking.
Yeah.
Bolognese.
Yeah.
So garlic.
Yep.
Salt. Rosemary. Bit of onion. Bit of butter. Then the mince. And then, you know, just all that smell. Yeah. Just my house constantly smelled of wild cooking, which is the joy of. But for me, it was that. It was the garlic and mince and butter and that whole spaghetti bolognese sauce. That's when I could walk in and smell a sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, so good.
Mine is very specific to the two women responsible for it, mainly the matriarch of the family, Pearl, who made.
I love that Pearl gave birth to Mavis.
Yes.
That is.
And Stanley and Boyd and Neil.
Oh. They are the most epic names.
It's Australia, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm guessing your grandmother was a hardline woman.
Well, I used to joke that my grandmother would do the dishes before she died just to make sure they were done.
Yeah. My great-grandmother was Lillian Pearl. I think that was a thing.
We've talked about this because my grandmother was Pearl Lillian.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, she would make, hands down I'll say this.
Tell me.
The greatest pancakes. Pikelets. Very specific. Pikelets, not pancakes. They're different.
What's that smell?
So butter and then batter.
Butter.
You get the pan nice and hot with the butter, a little bit of olive oil so the butter doesn't burn.
Yeah.
And then the pikelets, whatever she did to them, whatever she put in them, I don't know what it was, but you could fall asleep on them and they were absolutely delicious. Oh. And you'd come home from school. When Grandma was staying, she was making pikelets.
And you
in
could
the
smell. It was like a full bodied smell,
absolutely.
Right? Bit of butter on the edges, but
totally.
Just fluffy, a fluffy smell.
Fluffy.
Yeah, I know. I can taste it in the back of my throat. Ooh. Okay,
and
good.
And then she'd have a bit of handmade cream and a bit of handmade jam.
Pearl.
Pop that on top.
Was she in the CWA?
No, she wasn't. She was quite a private woman.
Oh.
She didn't go to bowls or the CWA.
Well.
A bit lonely in the end. Sad story.
Well, Denise Arlene, my grandmother, Denise Arlene Spence, she was the president of the CWA.
Oh.
Yeah, very important.
Go.
And worked at the church plant shop as well.
Oh, yes.
Played Scrabble once a week.
Oh, Pearl went to church a lot.
Of course. 131060, what's a superior smell that you love wafting from the kitchen? I have a tip for you.
Yeah.
If you want to just make everyone's life in your house, do you have a slow cooker?
No, I don't.
Oh, you should get one.
I slow cook, but I don't do it in a slow cooker.
You would like this.
I should.
I slow cook chocolate cake.
Ooh.
And you put it on in the morning at, say, 9.
Yes.
You go out and do your jobs. I do it on a Saturday for the kids.
Yep.
And we'll get home, say, 2,
yep.
And the whole house just smells of chocolate.
That's
and it
so
is
good.
So lovely. There's lots of recipes online. Super easy, actually. Just slosh it all in, and all of a sudden you get back,
excellent.
And there's, like, self-sourcing. It's so yum. Oh, my God, I'm so hungry.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
For 2 tickets to see the Foo Fighters Concrete and Gold World Tour Saturday, 27th of January at 8 and tickets. Tickettech.com.au. We want to know, what's a superior smell you love wafting from the kitchen? Shana in Lily Pilly. Hey, Shana.
Hi, Hem, how are you?
Good, darling. What's a superior smell you love wafting from the kitchen?
Well, it's actually my kids, believe it or not. It's the old traditional onion, just in the fry pan.
Yes.
They put it on a sandwich and is like lobster on a plate for them. They just love it. It is their special treat. I know, cheap and nasty, but it works every time.
Easy,
fried onion,
please. Fried onions
on a
in
piece
a sanger.
Of bread.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Served with
okay.
a bit of, on a plate.
Yeah.
Perfect
yeah.
dinner.
Dinner?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
With chewing gum to follow for dessert.
Sound like my kind of mother, darling. I love that. Here's dinner. Enjoy. Just a plate of onions. Amazing.
Gassy house, that one.
I was going to say, for me, I can't have onions or any of the deadly nightshades. When she was talking, that my stomach actually just started like blowing out. And I couldn't do that because I cannot eat onion. But sure. Good. Ben in Bondi. Hey, Benny.
Hello.
What's the superior smell you love wafting from the kitchen?
Okay, so mine is with a belly of pork. You
yes.
take 4 whole garlic, slightly crush them down, but like so they're still whole. You place the 4 garlic underneath the belly of pork, tons of thyme, and then glaze the baking tray with a white wine about halfway. Put that in the oven for 2 hours, and the smell that comes from the oven is like nothing else.
That is crazy good. You got your pork belly, you got your garlic, you got your thyme, got your white wine.
You cook that today.
Yep.
Please cook that today.
I'm going to cook that.
Like, my God. I'm going to cook it.
Everyone, go and cook
I'm
that.
I'm going to cook it. That's such a good.
Except the vegans, send me a message.
I'm not making a joke about how they can't because they're exhausted. Kaylee, hello.
Hi, I'm Holly.
What's the superior smell you love wafting from the kitchen?
I love coming home to a good steak.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Along with the onions on the side.
Yeah. yeah.
Great.
Now, do you like cooking that? What do you cook your steak in?
A little bit of butter.
Yes.
Yep, and some salt.
My husband has started, like, cooking things in coconut oil.
Oh, yeah.
Don't cook a steak in coconut oil.
No, well, you...
It tastes
you
like...
Can.
No.
It's got a high smoke point.
That's why he... Yeah, that's why he does it. It's a healthier, high smoke point.
Yeah.
But now all my food tastes like suntan reef oil.
Oh,
I can't have...
He's using the wrong coconut oil, though.
I don't want coconut steak. I want butter steak.
Yeah.
No, coconut steak.
No.
Do you eat coconut steak?
Oh, yeah, I use coconut oil quite
a
bit.
Steak?
I use rice bran oil. It's quite a neutral flavour and has a very high smoke point
but
as well.
But apparently not as good for you.
No, probably not. But also,
you know what he's like.
All of that coconut oil is good for your stuff. It's like, it's just coconut oil, mate.
Mate, if you believe coconut oil, you can rub on anything.
It's like, you know, everyone's into coconut water.
Yeah.
It's like, it fixes everything.
I don't like that
it's just
stuff.
Water.
You know what I think that tastes like?
Oh, it's foul. Yeah.
Jerry in Glenmore Park, hello.
Tell us more about what you think it tastes like.
Jerry, without saying it on air, do you know what I think coconut water tastes like?
100% know exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you. I'm not the only woman and gay man who thinks that, okay?
There's some straight men that have tasted that.
Everyone, all of my, I've once said it in a room full of my friends. I once said it in a room full of friends and they're all like, yes, and I've never wanted to say it out loud. Of course, it took me saying it out loud. Yeah. Good, Jerry, we've had a bond. What's the superior smell you love wafting from the kitchen?
Without a doubt, every day of the week, it's garlic bread.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's so simple, so basic, so easy, and that smell just goes through the whole house. Oh, I am gluten intolerant, and it does not matter. Like, I will still eat it. It is worth the pain. Yeah.
Me too. I take a run up to days where I'm like, you know what, I'm doing gluten. Even though I know it's going to make me sick, hey, I am having it.
Hey, Jerry, just so you know, mate, you can get gluten-free garlic bread.
Can you?
No,
you
don't have why to bother? Get the
it's not as good. It's too cakey.
It's so dense.
Yeah, it's not as good. You want that nasty white stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that just disintegrates once the butter hits it.
Get your stomach to blow it out and blow your butthole out.
Worth it.
That's fine.
I'd make those decisions. You know, you see me sometimes, I go, I'm going to eat the chocolate. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to sacrifice your anus.
Yeah.
Jared. Hey, Jared.
Morning, guys.
Hey, mate.
What's the superior smell you love wafting from the kitchen?
Okay, so I grew up with my grandparents who are Croatian, so there was a lot of good, hearty food, but Croatian donuts.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to say, no one else has come up with a sweet, and here we go right at the end, Croatian donuts. What are they doing with those?
What's
cinnamon?
It's icing sugar.
Ooh.
Oh, on the deep-fried pastry.
Yes, that's right. And it's not your traditional round donut, and amazing.
That's good.
All the kids on the street used to come over and say, Nan, where's the donuts?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Everyone called her Nan. That's good. All right, thanks, Jared. For walks.
Yeah.
We've got to give it to Ben. I mean, that was a piece of art.
Oh, wasn't it?
Ben, you've got two tickets to the Foo Fighters.
That is amazing. Yeah. I've never won anything in my life.
Oh.
Good job on your pork belly.
Yeah, honey, that was inspiring. That was inspiring.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
You make yourself a nice dinner tonight and celebrate those Fooey tickets, okay?
Absolutely awesome. Thank you, guys.
Good on you, mate. Benny.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Good morning, Courtney in Seven Hills.
Good morning, guys.
Now, let's have a little chat. So many things to unpack with you.
Oh,
so,
my life is like ridiculous.
What has been going on, Joel?
Well, I had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And now I don't. And from that breakup, I obviously lost the boyfriend and then I lost like a whole heap of weight.
How much?
It's almost 25 kilos, if not more. I've been putting on muscle. So it's gone from a size 16 to a size 8.
Wow.
I'm not in the fat girl section anymore.
Oh, Joel, that's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it's good. It's
so
good.
So you want some money to get some new clothes?
Yeah, and like just get my bikini. I've never like worn a bikini long. Mate. So if I can buy that.
Well, I don't know how much they are, but if you get a couple, right? Because you're not getting more than that.
Oh, no.
Nah, you're all right.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'll hand you over. We're having such a nice time.
Yeah.
There you go, Courtney. Meet Harley.
Just so you know, I don't write these questions. If I did, you'd definitely get the money because I think it's great giving people
Jace
money.
Jace doesn't have any money. Everyone knows Jace has no money.
He's poor. Yeah.
Everyone also knows that's bullshit and we work for a multi-million-dollar company. But anyway. T is the letter. You get 10
what's
questions.
The
T.
Okay.
Tinnitus.
There you go.
Tinea.
I
don't think that's a clue. Your time starts after the first question. And we're going to take your first answer and you're going to use it once. All right. Here we go, Courtney. Name a chocolate bar.
Time out.
A Sydney beach.
Thrill.
A shoe brand.
Tigers.
A word that ends in M.
Tom.
A part of the body.
Toe.
A type of sauce.
Tomato.
A comedian.
Pass.
A cat breed.
Tabby.
A music artist.
Timmy Trumpet.
An island.
Thailand.
A comedian.
Mate, that was good.
She's 900.
Showed you, Harley.
I'd give her 900.
Showed you, Harley. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. I've really been put in my place. I feel like a real idiot.
800.
What'd you miss?
What'd you miss? What didn't you give her?
Was it a beach?
Was it the tabby?
No, cat breed.
Cat breed. Tabby's not a cat breed.
Tabby cat?
Yeah, but that's apparently not a breed. Showed you, Courtney. Anyway.
800 bucks will get you some clothes,
Courtney.
Just so
you know, you could have had Tommy Little.
It'll get me a lot of clothes.
Tommy Little for comedian.
Or Tom Gleason.
Tom Gleason. I do like him. Oh, yeah, and him. Yep, he's great.
Okay. Yep. All right. Okay, great. Good job, honey. Get out there and live your best life. That's amazing. We'll be doing that again at 8 o'clock. Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nikki, sexologist and relationship expert. As a sexologist, I get asked a lot of questions.
When you look at the internet, what images do you look at?
Are we doing it right? Am I normal?
Figuring out whether I want other people in my life to know about this.
There's a lack of permission and education out there.
It depends on the connection you have with people.
Where there's so much information that's needed that here's a platform where I can say all the things that I can't say on air.
So I have one leg that's suspended off the ground.
So this is why I've started Sex and Life. Download me. Dr. Nikki with Sex and Life, podcast1.com.au and the Podcast One app.
This is serious.
Oh, Soz, how dare me.
This is, Mum is furious after her in-laws all chip in money for her birthday but only buy her a £1.50 chocolate bar.
Wait.
What?
Hang on, what do you mean? So everyone said we're going to get together and buy Mum a present.
No, we're going to buy, so it was her husband's, here we go. I'll tell you what happened. A mum has revealed her fury after claiming that her in-laws all chipped in money for her birthday present but only bought her a chocolate bar. The woman who said she was celebrating a significant birthday explained that her husband had been visiting his family and when he brought the gift back for her, but ranting on Mum's Net, and this is why I like it.
Oh, no, Mum's Net's a place where souls go to die.
Yeah.
Do not go to Mum's Net.
Don't go to Mum's Net.
Mum's Net is not a place. It is not. It's the Twitter of mumming.
Yes.
It's just where people go to complain and be horrible to each other.
Like this woman.
Oh, jeez.
She said that when she opened the wrapping paper 2 weeks later on her big day, all that was there was a bar of green and black chocolate, by the way.
Yummy.
Not a bad chocolate.
Okay.
She wrote, was she being unreasonable on Mum's Net? I think you're being unreasonable.
I think
if you get a gift, it's just the gift.
But she knew. I mean, no, it was tight. How many even got together? How many members of the family chipped
in?
Six.
What?
People. And it was a $3 chocolate bar. Six people chipped in for a gift. Look, I don't think you need to go to Mum's Net to find out if your family's crap.
Yeah, it's
your
six working
crap.
Adults.
Yeah. That's crap. She's not being unreasonable, but you don't need to go
to the
depths of hell,
no.
To the soulless beacon of hatred that is Mum's Net.
Yeah, that is a spiral downwards.
Just
that place
know
of judgment.
If you're sitting there with a bar of chocolate from six people that supposedly love you and they've put in, there's some serious problems either with you or them or both. That's it. That is a reflection on your relationship with them.
She got some help. One mum said, yeah, that's tight as F. How many of them chipped in? Another wrote, chocolate in a gift bag. It's almost like they are actually taking the piss.
Aww.
They all chipped in. What the? Yeah, look, you got a bad family.
But remember, I've lived through this. I once got an altar candle from my husband, who is listening right now. I love you, Scott.
You got an altar candle?
Yeah, like a white candle, not even scented.
No, a non-scented white candle wrapped up in newspaper.
That's correct. But I didn't need to go to Mum's Net to ask if it was a crap gift.
Yeah.
Well, she knew.
But Mum's, I feel like it depends on what age of a mum you are, as in what age your child is. How long have you been a mum?
You'll take the crap.
But you pretty quickly get used to crap gifts.
It's fine. Like, Odie gave me a cup that said world's best dad. I'll take it because you're 10.
Yeah.
But if you're 35 and you're giving me a cup that says world's best dad, I'll be asking some questions.
I've given my mum cleaning materials. for presents. Of course I have. I'm an asshole. I gave her a steam mop. She really wanted one. I was happy with her. We've moved on from that.
That's true. Thanks, everyone. And I have a story for you all about our favourite character, my youngest daughter, Odette.
Yes.
So Odie's an amazing kid. She's an amazing magical unicorn. She is off the rails, though. She's a loose unit.
She's an actual, she's like a mythical creature.
She's a mythical creature. So funny. And at the moment, her body is growing at a rate of knots. So she's 10 years old, and she has a size 9 foot.
Whoa.
A women's 9. And she's almost as tall as her 16-year-old sister. And when Odie walks, she just runs into things. Do you know what I mean? Like, things run into her.
Yeah.
Like, her limbs are all, she's like, you know.
Because she's bigger than she thinks she is.
Yes, she's like a gazelle.
Same thing's happening to Leonard.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know those guys that blow up out front of car lots and they're just all like, there's the air in them and they're all, that's Odie in everyday life.
Yeah.
But little girl had a win yesterday.
What'd she do?
She went to the regional athletic championships.
Oh, yes.
In discus. I don't know how I birthed a thrower. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. It's a bit embarrassing.
The better.
Sure. And she got second and made it through to the state championships.
Yes, she did.
My kid, the little O, she was so pumped. She rang me through. She's like, Mum, I'm through to states. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so great. And so we got home and I made her tell me everything. But there was something about this story that really blew me. And I'm going to tell you what happened, right?
Yeah.
So all the girls line up to do their throws. And it was a little bit of a cowboy operation, I'm starting to understand, at this regional championship. It was being run by parents and teachers. There were no little athletic officials.
No.
So what they were doing is they were letting the kids throw three times and then just measuring whichever one they thought looked the furthest.
That is not the way the competition's held.
So Odie nearly didn't. I just knocked Thor and Hulk off. I was so upset.
They just fell off.
So Odie's throws nearly didn't get measured, right? And so Odie threw, and they went and measured one, and it was 20 meters, and then that was it. And then she walked away, and then just one of the other teachers happened to say, "Let's measure the other one. I'm not sure." Like, and Odie was already out of the ring, and normally you wouldn't be allowed to do that. And they measured it, and that was 21 meters. And the girl that got third threw 20 metres and Odie would not have got second if they hadn't have measured. And Scott's telling me all of this. Calm as you like. Calm.
Nah.
Scott's like, okay.
There needs to be an inquiry.
I said to him, did you jump the fence and charge the field?
Because that's a normal kind of parent behaviour.
Because I said to Scott,
sports
I said
carnival.
To my husband, I said, could you tell with your eyes that the second throw was further? He goes, yeah. Okay. Why didn't you say anything? He goes, they would have figured it. We're talking about state championships. How dare you?
We're talking about a 10-year-old's career in discus.
Yeah. Right? I'm so glad you're on board with me.
I am on board.
And then,
with the importance.
And then Odie, we're at the dinner table and I'm off my head about it. I'm like, oh my God, are you joking? You nearly missed out on state championships. And then Odie says to her dad, see, I told you I'm glad Mum wasn't there. Joining us now is author and journalist Peter Grester, who spent 2 decades reporting from the front line in the world's most dangerous countries before making headlines himself and being arrested and spending 400 days incarcerated in an Egyptian prison. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Hello, Mike.
What an intro. Don't you love that?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, isn't
it? Just 400 days in an Egyptian prison.
I don't feel self-conscious about my talents at all.
No. Harley and I have been sitting here with you. I just, when we found that you were offered to us as a guest, we got offered, and both of us like, yes. Because you're someone with so much integrity and a desire, a burning desire and passion to tell the truth about what's going on in places where the governments are able to cover it up. Mm.
To the detriment of your own safety.
Yeah. So can we just talk about, I mean, there's so much to talk about. How did you end up in jail in Egypt?
Yeah, well, it was, I wish that I could sort of stand up that great, that fantastic introduction. But in Egypt, what I was doing was pretty routine journalism. It was nothing particularly dramatic. I didn't know Egypt that well. I was only in the country for a couple of weeks before I was arrested. So it was just, I was treading water. You know, the government would make a statement, I'd go and talk to the opposition and we'd find an analyst to make sense of it all.
Yeah.
It's only when you start to get a sense of a story that you start to know where the limits are and how far you can go before you're going to upset people. And I wasn't doing that in Egypt because I didn't know where those limits were.
Wow.
And then just one day I was getting ready to go out for dinner with a friend of mine and there was a knock on the door at the hotel and I cracked the door open and the room was just filled with a bunch of security agents and they hauled me off down to the cells and said, right, you're in there on terrorism charges.
Wow.
And this might seem like a silly question, but had a situation like that occurred in your career before?
I've upset the authorities before.
Yeah. Good.
I'm persona non grata in Ethiopia.
Right.
They're not very, they don't like me very much.
Okay. But
that's cool. That's fine. I've got no problem with that. And I knew that was going to come.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was,
so it's a fairly unique moment.
It was. Well, I've been hauled in for questioning. I've been hauled in by the authorities who wanted to sort of wag their finger at me and make sure I behaved a little bit. But never quite to that extent.
Sure.
Never up on terrorism charges. That was the first.
But it hasn't stopped you. You continue on.
Yeah. So
on.
What?
You keep
what's
going.
What's the desire? So you were put in jail. You're a convicted terrorist. Mm. By the Egyptian government, obviously. What keeps you going? Why don't you just go, you know what, this is too harsh?
Well, there are two reasons. The first is that I still think there's stuff out there that needs to be told, and I feel like I, you know, that's a part of who I am, is what I do. And the other thing is that, look, the Egyptians tried to shut me up. What they wanted to do was to send a message to any journalist operating in Egypt that you will not speak to the opposition, to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you think of the Brotherhood, they were the political opposition. You know, that's how things work. And we had a responsibility as journalists to speak to all of the parties in these kinds of situations. They wanted to send a message and they wanted to silence me. So every time I get out there now, every time I sit in front of a microphone, it's a way of flipping a middle finger at the Egyptian.
Now we're complicit in
and
that.
So
good. No, yeah, great.
I feel quite bloody-minded about that.
Yeah.
I love that you feel bloody-minded. But also, so you were saying, and now that you are, it's on your record as a convicted terrorist, getting into the United States, especially now considering who their president
is. That's a bit of a problem.
I'd like to ask you, does that scare you the most in what's going on now in the world, in what Trump's been able to do with the news and just blatantly make it up?
Well, look, there are two big things here. One is the way that Trump and his ilk have completely degraded the idea of truth.
Yeah.
They've completely undercut any kind of confidence in truth. So we can't even have conversations about, we can't even agree about these topics, let alone agree on what the solutions are.
Mm.
And that's a massive problem. But there's also the way that groups and governments and people like Trump and the Americans, even the Australian government, has sort of taken national security and twisted it. And what happened to us in Egypt was a really bad example of that, where governments took terrorism and twisted it and distorted it to include the political opposition, and therefore journalists that were talking to their opposition became agents of terrorism.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that all over the place now, and that's what worries me.
It frightens you. You're not just witnessing it, you're now part of it.
I was a part of it. That's what happened to us.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book.
Well,
just went very gonzo.
The book is The First Casualty, and it's from the front lines of the global war on journalism. If I could ask you just finally, what would you tell people? And I know a lot of people don't trust the press. Mm. They don't trust journalists in this country also. What would you tell people who, you know, what do you want to say? You have the mic and you said you're bloody-minded about it. What do you want to say to people?
Look, I want to say to people that we need to at least recognise that journalists spend a tremendous amount of time and put themselves at a great deal of risk often to get stories that we really need to know and read about. And, educate yourselves, get a sense of, find those reporters who you trust, those news outlets that you trust, but find ones that have a commitment to the truth and follow those.
Yeah.
And just, you know, be prepared to engage with it. Because at the moment, as I said, unless we're prepared to at least read this stuff, get into these conversations, we're going to be far less informed and far less able to have good public arguments.
And it sounds like you're saying to everyone, stay curious.
Stay curious, stay engaged.
Ask the questions. Well, this is just, I'm sorry it's such a short time. We were just so into this and think you're an amazing person. And I'm so glad there are people like you in the world who are questioning governments and your own personal safety. So thank you for doing that. The First Casualty from the front lines of the global war on journalism, Peter Grester. Good luck with the book and thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. Great to meet you, mate.
Cheers.
131060. Have you had a fight with your partner because of something that happened while you were asleep?
Oh, yeah.
previous
relationship.
So something happens while you're asleep in the middle of the night and then you wake up and then there's an argument.
I have woken up mid-argument. Not joking. I've woken up and just gone, what is going
amazing.
On here?
Yeah, this happens all the time in my house too. Oh, let me tell you, a very important study was conducted.
Yes, oh, I love studies.
By high-tech mattress company Simba.
Oh.
So I feel like this is going to be scientific.
Yes, definitely.
A poll of
100, how many?
A poll of 2,000 adults
found
that 1/3 of the population have woken in a rage after dreaming that their partner had cheated on them. So you've had a dream that your partner's been awful to you or something bad's happened and they've woken up and been angry because of something that happened in the dream.
Which actually points to the person who's dreaming its integrity, not the person who's being dreamed about. Of course it does.
Really?
It's your brain and what your brain's telling you. It's not. They're not involved. they're minding their own business asleep.
Well, see, when you're sleeping, I always feel like that when you're asleep, surely that's the safe time.
Yeah,
but as we've spoken about before, my husband will sit up 3 or 4 times a week in the middle of the night and announce that there is someone in the room.
Yeah, and then just go back to
sleep. And then go back to sleep. And he has taken it to the point now where he throws his body over me to protect me. Because, and so I will wake up with Scott screaming on top of me, there's someone in the room. Then I'll have to go, no, there isn't. And then he rolls back over, straight back to sleep.
Yeah.
Whereas I am in full karate position, heart rate going a million miles. And he'll wake up in the morning. I'll go, mate, do you remember what you did last night? He'll go, no. And I'll be so cranky because he has done that. He's yelled at someone in the middle of the night being in the room. They're not there in the room.
Hannah has woken up to being wrestled by me.
Oh, God.
Full wrestle. And I had no idea in the morning. She's like, do you know what you did last night? I was like, what happened? She's like, you wrestled me.
I love this.
I'm like, who won?
I love this. I want to hear from...
I did.
Of course.
Of course I did.
Well done. I want to hear from people who have either had dreams that have made them angry and they've fought with their partner about the dream, or maybe their partner just did something weird, or maybe their partner yelled something at them in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Like, I've had Scott sit up and yell, just let me die.
Well, things are going well at the Raffiano household.
Like, I was like, what? What? And he's like, he's having a sleep. Leave me! Say that! What? And I was like, what?
Wow. Hey, if you call up too and you say you had a dream about your partner cheating on you and you were trying to be in the right on that, I'm going to have a go at you. You're the one dreaming.
I don't want to hear about dreams. Dreams are boring.
Oh, yeah, don't tell me your dream.
Don't tell me about your dream or your star sign. Are you out?
You know what, though? You know that whole hearing people's dreams is boring? I don't agree. Hearing boring dreams are boring.
No, only if the dreams...
Hearing boring stories are boring.
No, but don't you feel like if the dream's about me, sure, tell me. Otherwise, I don't care.
No, but if it's interesting, if it's a good story, I'll hear it. Jeez. I'm into good stories.
I would have picked you as someone who would just give the don't ask, just don't
it's
argue
just gotta
with
be good.
Face. 131060, lots of calls coming in. If you had an argument with your other half over something that happened in the sleeping time, we'll take your calls next. Some groundbreaking information was acquired.
Huge study.
Massive study done.
Great subsection of the community.
High-tech mattress maker Simba. Carried out some research and found that 1/3 of the population have woken up in a rage and started a fight with their partner because they've dreamt they're cheating on them.
Yeah.
They've dreamt it and they've gone, oh my God.
I've heard this so many times.
How could you? And then the other guy, and the guy's like, what? I saw what you did with her. When? What? In my sleep.
In your brain.
I saw you. And you too. You have. I have woken up cross from dreams. Absolutely. I mean, I've woken up cross from no dreams.
Yeah. I just wake up cross.
Me too.
Yeah.
All the time.
I just wake up swinging.
I just wake up so angry.
It's 4:20
in the
morning.
When the alarm goes off, I'm just, I've told you, I've abused it. I nearly swore then. Scott would just know at 4 o'clock when he hears the F word being yelled very loudly. That's 4 o'clock. I'm his alarm clock.
I get angry at my bowels in the morning. I'm like, why?
Oh, come on, mate.
What are you on for?
When I look at my face sometimes because it's so puffy and it's so early, I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Do better, face.
Can't get the hot water to go hot.
God.
Mate.
It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. 131060, though, we did ask, have you gotten really cross with someone, the other half, someone, whoever, because of something that happened during the sleeping time?
Yeah.
When really they have no control
they
over
have no control
it's
over
not
it.
Their fault.
Yeah.
But you can't
even
help
if
it.
They do wrestle you in their sleep. It's not their fault.
Sure. Jen. Hey, Jen.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What happened?
I woke up in the middle of the night thinking that my partner was cheating on me and started punching him in the arm.
Jen, are you at the train station right now?
Yes, I am.
All I can hear is, please mind the gap behind you.
I could hear, I thought it was another radio station. Like, no. What's going on?
What train station are you standing at right now?
Engadine.
So, Jen, did he wake up when you punched him?
Yes, I did. I started yelling at him.
Because, Jen, in that moment, you genuinely feel heartbroken, don't you? Because it's so real.
Absolutely. Betrayed.
Yes. By your own brain, Jen.
I love that, Jen.
Yeah, I know. We have problems with my brain.
Yeah. Me too, doll. Don't worry. You get on that train now. Don't mind the gap. Oliver. Hey, Oliver.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, doll. What happened?
Woke up in the middle of the night with a big slap on the forehead and this wife screaming, spider.
Was there a spider, Oliver?
No, got up, had a look at her, and she was back asleep already.
Yeah.
So, must have done something earlier on the day before, and probably thought I deserved a slap.
Yeah. I love it, Oliver. That's brilliant. And being in your sleep, that's incredible aim. She gets out.
Yeah. You just smacked yourself in the head.
I really miscalculated my strength.
You're on radio. You're like, I better demonstrate.
Oh, I live through my art on the Meryl Streep of radio. You know that? I'm method radio. I'm method radio.
Yep.
What? Come on, mate.
Well, I didn't have anything to say about method radio because I'm like, yeah, well, we're both are because we're on radio. That's the method.
No one understands me. Hey, Rebecca and Bondi.
Hey, Evan Harley, how are you?
What happened, doll?
Okay, so I dreamt that Mum and I and my brother and sisters, we all headed over to the US and we were about to go into Disneyland, like every child's dream. Yes. And my brother and sister went in, I could see them getting their tickets, having fun, and Mum was just dawdling the whole day outside, searching for something in her bag, going for a walk, getting a coffee. And I was like, Mom, are we going in? Are we going in? And it got all through the day till it was dark at night and we never even went in. And I woke up and I was so angry, I couldn't speak to her for 2 days. And she goes, you're such a sook, it didn't even happen. And I was like, I can't look at you.
Don't you look at me.
Did nothing wrong.
Love you dirty Mom.
Thanks, Rebecca. Everyone's getting a prize off you. You're all brilliant today. Thank you very much.
This is the Ambrosiano Radio Show with Holly Green.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the final hour of the extravaganza, the arena spectacular that is Em and Harley.
Yeah, this is the hour that any other radio show would really wind up and give you the best.
We are.
We hit a wall.
No, we have so much to get through. It's very exciting. It's great. We're here for you. We're gently cupping your undercarriage with our soft, warm hands and saying, Sydney, we'll take you into your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hamish and Annie just drive you home. We cup things.
We cup your...
Yep. I didn't say it. No. Undercarriage.
Neither did I.
Let's do this.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Hey, Susan.
Hi, guys. Oh, my God, I got through.
Mate.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, you did.
Oh, where are you? What are you doing? How's your life? What do you do for a job?
Oh, I'm a stay-at-home mum, and I've got my first kid on the way.
So you're flat out.
Oh, so you're pregnant?
Yes, I'm 36 weeks, yeah.
Oh, yes, so it's your first child?
Yes, and my first house deposit. I would love to win this
$10,000. Oh, okay, good luck.
All right, mate. Well, your letter is K.
Yeah, okay.
K. Perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
K for karate.
Let's do it.
That is not one of the answers.
Good.
You have 30 seconds. Your time starts after the first one. We have to take your first answer, and you can only use it once, Susan. Best of luck to you with the letter K. Here we go.
Thanks, guys. Let's do this.
Okay.
Name a salad ingredient.
Pass.
A reality TV show.
Kim Kardashian.
A Sydney ferry stop.
Pass.
A book title.
Pass.
A food brand.
Kellogg's.
A type of measurement.
Pass.
A marsupial.
Oh, God, pass.
A water sport.
Pass.
Nah, you're all right, mate.
$100.
You got $100.
It's okay. It's okay.
Because it's not Kim Kardashian. It's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Well done, Halle Green.
I was going to say Kate and Kath and Kim, but I said Kim got it.
Yeah,
and then the marsupial, I would have no idea.
Well, you do know.
Yes, kangaroo.
Kangaroos and koalas are okay, marsupials.
Honey.
Marsupials.
It's all right.
Whatever.
Hunji.
We're all
nice
in it together.
It's free Hunji for you, sis.
Free Hunji.
And you know what? You're getting a great prize in 4 weeks. You get a new baby.
Yeah, and they're cheap.
Yeah. Well done. Good luck with the birth, my darling.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Joel. Oh, she was so happy at the start.
Yeah.
And then just,
and then we
just
broke
spiraled
her.
Into a shame circle of hatred.
Thing. I don't understand. Like, does it?
We started at the wrong end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now, Hals and I want to have a chat. We want to have a serious chat. And, you know, I think it's important if you've got a young son or daughter in the car that they listen. Yeah. And we're going to keep it in a place that they can hear it.
Yeah.
But this is something we're both really passionate about. And
absolutely.
If you have social media, you'll have noticed perhaps on your Facebook page, on your Twitter feed, or even on Instagram, the hashtag MeToo has been trending worldwide.
Worldwide.
Alyssa Milano.
All over all platforms.
Yeah. Alyssa Milano, actress, she actually started this movement.
I did not know that.
Yep, she started the movement. And it has been thousands upon thousands of women have been sharing their stories of sexual harassment in the workplace. Yeah. And I found it, when Kim suggested we talk about this, I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I've been finding this whole Me Too hashtag really confronting and a little bit upsetting, and I couldn't put my finger on why. And then I realized, I feel like, again, we're making the victims spread awareness of this. And I feel like we need to get the perpetrators, we need to get men who have witnessed it or men who have been a part of it to take responsibility and say how they're going to be different.
Absolutely.
And how they're going to step up.
Yeah.
And how they're going to be better.
I have wrote something that was actually about marriage equality campaign, but it applies to this. And this is the stand I take on things of this nature. When you're in a position of privilege, as I am, as a straight white male, then I choose to take the point of view of listening.
Mm.
I think the loudest way that you can lead by example or show your support is to listen.
Mm.
There's a lot of men going, well, how do we fix it? Just listen.
Yeah.
Just hear this. And so anyone that pops up in my feed, I just read it.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, as a personal campaign, I'm doing my absolute best to raise my boys in the best way possible.
And you always lead by example. And you're someone that I'm so glad is out there being this way and behaving in this manner. But the Me Too hashtag has also made me realize I've been asleep.
Yeah,
it's really, I've been reading these harrowing stories of women I've worked with and known, and I realise that I've normalised this behaviour. I've been in boys' clubs. I've worked in commercial radio, in television and in comedy.
Yeah.
And I know at the time I normalised it. I just went along with it because I didn't want to be unpopular. I didn't want to look like a whinge or a nag.
Of course.
And I'm reading all these stories and just thinking, God, I've seen that. And it has happened to me, but I haven't wanted to draw attention to myself because it's not to the magnitude that some women have been through. It's been inappropriate comments.
Yep.
It's been, you know, questions about my sex life. It's been questions about my body. And I've just brushed it off and laughed at it and normalised it.
And I think that the problem too there is there's not a hierarchy of what's worse, severity of it.
Mm.
It's that there's a whole and complete insidious culture of this.
Yeah.
And every woman has a story. Every single woman has
House.
A story.
Everyone.
Which means every single man has been in a position where they've either been a perpetrator or they've seen it or they're just being blind to the fact that it's happening.
Yeah.
Which means you're a part of it.
Absolutely. The standard you walk past is the standard you accept. So we wanted to do on 131060, we wanted to give you a chance to do a radio Me Too. If you want to call in and you want to talk about how you've been sexually harassed at work or, you know, in another situation, or how you've come forward and what happened. We just wanted to give you guys the opportunity to have your say on radio. And also, you know, any men, if you want to call up and talk about how you're going to be better or how, you know, you've come forward, this is just an open platform to really bring the Me Too hashtag to life. And, you know, talk about it openly. If anything good is going to come from this atrocity, this Harvey Weinstein situation,
yeah,
it is that I think the Western world are waking up to the fact that this is something that we've all been guilty of letting go, of walking past, of allowing to happen. So I think the thing that's going to come out of this is a real shift in behaviour and standards.
Let's hope so.
Which is what we want.
Absolutely.
So 131060, if you want to talk about this Me Too hashtag, anything that you want to say or get out there, you're completely welcome. It's an open forum. We'll take your calls next. Right now, we're tackling a topic that, you know, it's hard, but it's necessary. And it's one that has been dominating our news feeds, our social feeds. Obviously, the news of Harvey Weinstein having committed multiple sexual assaults on women over a couple decades has really broken open this conversation about what's been going on and what we've been walking past.
Yes, and just a quick note to the men listening that may sit into a category that need to hear this. Don't use this moment as a green light to be defensive.
No.
You don't need to be defensive.
No.
This does include you.
But you know
what? It is about you, but don't be defensive. Just listen.
And not all men are perpetrators. This, obviously.
Yeah, but all men are complicit in this.
Yeah. And also all men have women in their lives they care about.
Yep.
This isn't an attack on you. This is a way to protect the women you love.
Sure.
And that's what this movement you need to remember is about. It's about protecting the women in your life that you love. So we're talking about this hashtag MeToo that actress Alyssa Milano was at the forefront of, and it has just gone, my feed is full of it, and women I've been friends with for years and worked with have told stories that I didn't know about, and I realise that I've been asleep, and this has woken me up, and I hope it's done the same for you guys, and we wanted to open the phones up on 131060 and just have a chat about it, if you've experienced it or what you're doing to combat it. You know, there's nothing we won't talk about. We'll be respectful. Just remember there are kids in cars on their way to school.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this right. Hey, Meg.
Hey.
What happened?
I was only pretty well fresh out of uni. This is quite a long time ago. I'm now 48. But I was working for a major corporation, and one of the bosses that I worked with, he was from a fairly conservative religion, and he would asked me, I was single and I was dating, and when I'd come in after a weekend, he'd ask me explicit questions about what I did on the weekend and who I went out with and what I did with them. And it was just so uncomfortable and quite extreme and intimidating to
the
point.
And at the time, did you know that it was wrong, or were you worried for your job?
Oh, no. Well, I guess I was worried for my job, but it got to the point, I was living at Bondi and I couldn't sleep. I'd get up and walk the length of the beach backwards and forwards because I was just so physically upset by it and mentally troubled that I had to do something about it. And in the end, I went to HR and they got rid of him. I had a feeling then that he had done it to other people as well.
That's so great to hear that you reported it and they believed you and they acted and they got rid of him. Did it help you?
Absolutely.
Meg?
It made me feel as though it was worth standing up for. And I was only 21 and he was in his 40s, yet I had some power over him. Like, I was able to stop it from happening to someone else, at least in that scenario. I don't know where he went on from there, but I think it was his conservative religion. He was curious about what people were doing outside of that religion.
It doesn't excuse his behaviour, though.
Yeah, exactly. It was terrible.
Thanks for your story, Meg. And that's so important, that taking power back for especially young women, that's a big win, you know, because often you feel out of control and you feel like someone else is dictating your feelings and your heart and your sleep. And I think
I'm live Googling.
That's okay.
I'm listening. Okay. But I wanted to say that if anyone's hearing stuff like this and wanted someone to talk to, I know that there's an organisation that I worked through with the No Means No Show.
Yes.
It's called CASA, the Centre Against Sexual Assault.
Right.
I can't for the life of me find out what the New South Wales version of that organisation is, but there are definitely people out there that can take your calls and listen to you. And, of course, Lifeline is 13 11 14.
If any of our producers, you guys, can you get the number up for me once we're done with this call of where we can send people, please? Let's go to, I haven't said this right, Chintamani, is that right?
Chintamani.
Hi, Chintamani.
How are you?
Good. Now, you've got a call with someone's taking some positive steps.
Yes, so I worked in a Richmond high school for 11 years. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced some horrific things when I was younger. Mm. And the principal actually, on White Ribbon Day, all the male staff in an assembly all went up and made an oath. And that's the first time that I've ever felt safe, and I was in my 40s.
Oh, right. Joel. And what was the oath?
It was that they will stand for and protect women. They will stand and will not abide or turn a blind eye to any of this behaviour. Mm. And they basically say they will protect every female, doesn't matter what race, creed, religion, that every female deserves to feel safe.
Yeah.
And it was the most amazing, incredible and humbling experience, because that was the first time in my life that I've ever felt safe and heard.
Oh, Doc, and that's so true. And thank you for calling in. I can hear how emotional you are. And it is, it's in these times, looking to people like that principal and looking to ways you can make women feel safe. And that's what she said. I bet every woman in that room exhaled a little bit.
I just wanted to make a point. This is going to seem ridiculous, but or nitpicking, but it's not the role of men to save and protect women.
No,
it's the role of everybody involved in a society to make everyone feel safe and have equality.
Yeah,
because it just puts us back in the power position. It's my job to save and protect you. It's not my job to save and protect you.
No,
to make sure that you're safe.
Yeah.
In society, as with everybody else.
But, the majority of perpetrators that we've been dealing with are men, and that's why the conversation, I guess, has
of
been...
Of course.
Yeah. We've got the number. It's 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. That is the National Sexual Assault Hotline. And, of course, if this is happening to you in your workplace, it is not okay, and you can report it to your HR. And you can, and please don't be scared to do so, because it is your right to feel safe where you work. I want to thank everyone who called in. It was a big topic. Lots of people rang. We've run out of time. But this conversation is going to continue, and I encourage everyone to keep having it. Thanks, everyone.
I went for a walk yesterday, Amelia. I'm known to do these things.
Did you go for a haircut or go shopping?
No.
Okay, great.
Actually, I'm going to go get a haircut today.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Oh. Yeah,
and I'll probably go shopping.
You probably do.
Might even do something quirky or wacky with my kids. Anyway, I was on my own walking through. There's a beautiful park just near my house. Mm. And I was just wandering through there. And then I thought, I've got a bit of business to do. I had a bit of admin to do.
Oh, yes.
Had to phone the manager, have a chat about some upcoming touring, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'll just do it here in the park.
Yeah, make it your office. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Great.
And it's beautiful. People are out. And, there's a bit of sun around, so people have got their skin out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to not creepily look on at that, because I'm just sat in the shadows. Just
me and my laptop. Yeah.
Me and my laptop.
And my camera and my newspaper with the eye holes cut out.
And I'm just feeding the ducks.
What?
Sorry. That's a great video up.
Well.
Okay. So I'm just there looking at the pond and doing some work. And there's not a lot of people in the park at this stage. It's a very hot day. And I was looking down. I didn't have my laptop there. I just work on my phone. I was looking down my phone. I was doing a bit of blah, blah, blah. And then just two people just came and sat beside me.
Oh, you would have hated that.
Hated
it. You're not chatty.
I was in such a good business mode. It takes me a while to wind up to doing something. And I got there and I was getting stuff done.
I've got to ask you.
What?
Why didn't you barley off the seat?
Because
if I'm taking a seat, I'm then laying out my life so no one else can sit next to me. Even if it's just like one piece of rubbish that I've picked up and popped next to me.
Yes.
You got to barley off the seat,
Well, because I hadn't actually decided to sit and do business there. It had just started happening.
Oh, spontaneous.
I'd actually just sat down for a bit of a breather. It was a hot day.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'll just keep walking. Then, and also, I looked around the park. There's chairs. Freaking everywhere.
Can we talk about that? Can we talk about when you're now, in a movie cinema and there's not many people in there and people walk in and they come sit next to you? There are literally 200 other chairs in here.
I couldn't focus. I couldn't even see
so
straight.
So cross.
Now, the two people who sat beside me were two elderly women.
Oh, great. Oh, no, that's good.
They were lovely and charming. But I secretly was plotting many things against them.
Why?
Including their deaths. Because they sat beside me.
No, but I love
nannies. This is what they did when they sat beside me.
Nah, they're fine.
They sort of looked at me as like, is this okay? But also, we're doing it. And I'm like,
they're nannies.
There's a chair just there.
No.
Why would you look at a guy like me in a park on his own, just looking at the ducks, and go, I feel safer sitting beside him?
Because you're a big, handsome, burly, strapping man, and they probably did feel safe sitting next to you.
They sat there. They started. There was a bin near the chair,
great.
And they was like, we're moving that bin. I was like, can you just, if you're going to sit there, just sit there and be quiet.
You're so
and
lucky.
And then they rabbity-rabbity-rabbited on in another language. I don't know what the language was.
Amazing.
They were rabbiting on, and all I wanted to do was say, could you please go away?
No.
Can you get up and piss off?
No.
Can you get, and if they were speaking English, I would have done it. And I realised the reason I didn't do it is because I didn't want the reason to look racist.
And
am
I being racist?
The truth of the matter is, I just don't like people near me.
It doesn't matter what
go
their
away,
creed.
Nana.
Okay, no, you got picked like a ladybird landing on you. The nannas picked you.
Yes,
you should be grateful. You got picked.
Then I got up and left.
Oh, the nannas!
And they said something and laughed.
Good. I bet. What do you think? I bet they did. What did they say?
They told a joke about my hair.
That guy needs a haircut.
Choice of shoes.
Why is he in flannelette in 30-degree heat? So many things we could joke about right now. Good. Good.
I don't like it. I'm not going back to the park again. Oh. You know what I'm doing? I'm getting a shirt that says, don't sit near me, I don't know you.
Please but I'm not racist.
Away. I'm
this
not
applies
racist.
To all races.
I'm not racist or sexist or bigoted. Go away.
Please don't sit next to me, any human. I hate everyone. I do not discriminate my hatred.
I accept everybody. I believe in equality, but please
don't
leave me alone.
Don't sit next to me. No, that's fair enough.
Sit over there.
But if it's a nana. Mine would say, brackets, you're fine if you're a nana.
If you bring scones.
So, marriage equality. We're in the battles.
I've heard of it.
We're in the depths.
It's been around.
The plebiscite's happening, the postal plebiscite. You've returned yours.
I've returned mine today.
I've returned mine.
Yeah. It arrived.
Jeez.
We did it. We put a strap back in the mailbox.
Good on you, mate. Yeah, mate. You're a good human. I've done it. And our next guest, certainly I hope he's done it. It'll be embarrassing. He's the head, he's the big boss, he's the big dog of the marriage equality campaign, Tiernan Brede.
Tiernan!
How you doing? How's it going?
Tiernan, I can't say your name any other way. I'm sorry.
sounds perfect. You have it down pat. Not a bother.
We're just talking off air. I mean, I want to ask you how we're going because I've been concerned that, and Harley has too, that we're in a bubble of like-minded people. You know, you can customise your social media so it's only people you like.
Of course.
That are around
and
you.
And there's been situations over the last few years like Brexit and Trump where everyone's like, couldn't possibly, and then it does.
And we're blindsided.
Yes.
So is there how are the yes side feeling genuinely? Like what's going on? How you feeling?
Two things. I think first, we're feeling good about the turnout. The turnout's really good. So, you know, we're up at 67% already, which means, you know, more people have voted on this than the American presidential election or the French presidential or the Irish referendum on marriage equality.
Yes.
So that's, mixed emotion. Yeah. But
despite where we stand on this, we actually do have a good democracy in this country. I think it's a great thing we get out and vote.
See, you reckon it's gone, it's looking good.
I think the turnout's looking good. We want to push that right up to the top. Everyone should vote. No one should take it for granted and think, you know, someone else's vote is going to get this over the line. That's not what's going to happen. If you haven't put it in the post box, then, you know, you can't count on it happening. And, you know, there's a load of people we know out there who've done two things. They have it sitting on the table and they've gone, I'm going to do that. And people are busy, you know, but then the Bunnings brochure comes in and the Chinese takeaway brochure comes in and now it's at the bottom of a pile of stuff. You're going, no, you've got to get it out and get it to the postbox fast.
Yes.
It's an easy way to bring happiness to people, you know, like even though it doesn't affect you, it's like a selfless act. Yeah. And I also, you know what I love about, I've also kind of, and I was talking to Harley about this off air, they're saying Malcolm Turnbull may have, in fact, this is going to be the thing that bites him on the ass, is that he's empowered a lot of young people who weren't on the voting register.
register, or people who have never voted have gone out and registered.
Yes,
and now when the next election comes around, these people, they're going to have a very long memory. Yeah. And previously they might not have voted, but now they're registered and they're in. They're going to, it's going to, and he's essentially empowered a bunch of people to come out against
him. We've strengthened our democracy.
Yeah. So
I think you got a real taste of that when we done the enrollment campaign before it kicked off. And a million Australians either added their name or changed their address. That's
amazing.
You know, that's some serious commitment to the issue. And I think that's what you're seeing in the turnout.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're hoping that's a good sign. Look, every poll for 10 years has said the Australian people want everybody to be treated the same by the law and everybody to be able to get married. So the bigger the turnout, the more likely the result will reflect that on the day.
Yeah, so, Tiernan, what's your final message, Jevren? There's people listening now that are, you know, who are complacent because it doesn't affect them. So what do you say to the other people? We want to reach the yes voters who don't, you know, aren't going to vote, but they still think, you know, we can't change no people's minds. We've got to go for yes. So what do you want to say to them?
Look, you can do something amazing for people. Most people are going to get on with their lives the day after marriage equality happens. But for a group of people in Australia, for the first time ever, they're going to be included. For the first time ever, they're going to be able to have the same aspirations and hopes and dreams as everyone else in their family. And, you know, voting yes isn't going to change the world for everybody. It's just going to make Australia a fairer place. Nobody will be less married and nobody's going to be more gay the day after marriage equality happens.
No. You
know? But this will be a kinder, more inclusive country that, you know, a whole bunch of people suddenly are going to feel like for the first time, I can have the same life as everybody else. And that's worth doing.
It is.
Yeah.
Tiernan and Brady, we'll keep in touch. We wish you all the luck. We're fully behind you here at Today FM, obviously. And keep fighting that good fight, man.
Thanks a million.
Thank you. Hey, Belinda in the Blue Mountains.
Oh, my God. Woo! My friend was just calling with me as well. I can't believe we got through.
Oh, I love it. They were double calling.
Double
incredible.
But you know, our half at work.
Well, you've got two tickets to see me.
Oh, I love you guys so much.
You are so.
Are you going to take your friend or just sucks to be her?
Don't take your friend.
If she wants to come, she can come.
That's generous. Well, you're off to see Pink. Thank you for getting through. We know everyone's very excited. She's announced a bunch of new concerts yesterday.
Yeah.
She's like, it's just going off. Tickets are on sale, you guys, tomorrow.
Oh, not even on sale. And she's already added more.
She's added more and it's not on sale.
Just do a stadium, Pink. Go on, mate.
Just live here. Her manager lives in Sydney. Morning, Rog. He loves the show,
Ulysses. She should go and she's even bigger than stadiums. She just, you know, like paddocks.
What if we just put on a show, like, what's the biggest Spence in Australia? Like the air, what's the air, Lake Air. What if she just put on a show there?
Yeah.
With drones.
Drones.
Oh, no, she likes to swing from the roof. We can't have her do this.
They're winding us up.
How dare they?
Show.
I'll talk as long as I want.
We can unpack this as long as we need to.
Okay, all right. Stop. Nah, it's over. I need to go. Oh, my God. I'm going to have a massage.
This is Sneaky Friday. I'm out of here. All right.
Thanks, everyone. We've had a great time. We'll see you guys Monday. Tomorrow we've got things on. We've got special things on. So there's going to be a best of. It'll still be good. And we're not supposed to mention it's a best of, but you guys are going to figure it out pretty bloody quickly.
Yeah.
That's why I'm getting a massage.
When I Instagram from the pub at 8 in the morning.
And you know what else? No, you will not be doing that. I've got date night with my husband tonight. We're staying at a hotel.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm definitely going to fall asleep in sexy underwear tonight.
I'm working.
Comedy never sleeps, Doc.
Comedy never sleeps.
That podcast of the M. Rossiano Radio Show with Harley Breen was brought to you by Australia's best mobile network. To find out more about their latest offers, go to telstra.com.au or head into your nearest Telstra store today. The M. Rossiano.